Thank you, honey. So for the last couple of weeks, as mentioned by Steve, we've been going through thinking about, from a biblical perspective, a lifestyle that is devoted to God, a devotional lifestyle. And we began with that illustration of the lifestyles and the rich of the rich and famous. And champagne dreams and caviar, whatever, you know, and realize that that wasn't the lifestyle that the scriptures have taught us should be the priority, or if any, should be a priority at all. We realize that the lifestyle for the one who is a follower of Christ is going to be different than the lifestyle that the typical world person in the world would live out. Last week, we looked at the lifestyle of Enoch and discovered that this great follower of Jehovah was so in tune with his master that he walked with God. That's a pretty cool thing, eh? That he walked with God, and so cool that he was one of two people that actually was raptured into the presence of God without experiencing physical death that we know of. The other one, of course, was Elijah. Yes, very good. But the week before that, when we started this off, we looked at Jesus' life, and we discovered that Jesus had a pattern. He had a very clear pattern that in the morning, he would get away after having a very busy ministry day. He would go to bed and then get up in the morning and go somewhere quiet and private, and he would pray. And I would suspect he would contemplate the words of the scriptures, the Old Testament, and he would allow those that time of prayer with God and time in the Word to prepare him for a busy day. And we know that he had busy days. From early in the morning to late at night, Christ was busy. And I mention that because I think most of us here would say we have busy lives too. And how do we live our lives when it's so busy? How can we live in a way that we can have real success and victory from a biblical perspective? Well, I said, I think we can follow the pattern that Jesus has given to us. And so we're here today for our last message at this point to talk about a devotional lifestyle. One thing I want to make very, very clear with everyone, and I had to remind myself, one of the problems when we talk about living a devotional lifestyle, and especially today when we get into a very practical, how do I do this on a day-by-day basis? A couple things can happen. One, pride, or two, an utter sense of worthlessness. What do I mean? Well, first of all, when we start to practice the disciplines of a devotional lifestyle, one being prayer, another being scripture reading, another being praise and meditation, solitude, all those kinds of things, we can get a little bit proud about it. And we can start to say, look what I'm doing for God. We actually think we're doing something for God. Or we can put it another way, look what I'm doing for myself because I'm such a good follower of God. And so we don't want that, do we? We don't want to build up a sense of self-pride because we're doing stuff like this. Or the second thing is we can often feel terrible because we're not doing enough or anything. Some of you in this room have never lived out a life where every day you have spiritual disciplines. Where you consistently read the Bible, where you set aside time to do that and pray. Or some of you have done that, but you've done it sporadically, like me at times in my life, where, you know, you go through a week and you realize you haven't really spent any time privately with God. And you can, I don't know about you, I feel terrible when I do that. And I feel guilty. And I feel ugly about my spiritual walk. And so, as we talk about the devotional lifestyle, I'm not looking to either help you build up pride or to build up a sense of failure, a sense of shame that you're not doing enough. So that's not where we're going. We're going to a place where we believe that our whole life, and I was so glad that Steve mentioned it, our whole life is one grand devotion to God. Going to work. We work as if we're working for God. We play as if we're playing for God. We relax. We're with our families as unto God. Everything we do has a mindset. How will this glorify God? How will this draw me into a deeper walk with the Father? That's what a devotional life is all about. So today, let's talk about devotions. Okay, so here's the difference. We're talking about, generally speaking, a devotional lifestyle. Then today we're going to talk about those things we call devotions. We might have said Jesus had devotions. He spent time alone with God, and he prayed, he looked at the Word of God, and he praised and worshiped his Heavenly Father. That we would call today a devotional time. And so hopefully today we'll come away with a little bit of help how to do a devotional time with God. It was mentioned in one of the scriptures that was shared this morning about drawing near to God. I want to read for you some scriptures over the next few minutes that will help. And if you're taking notes, these are some great scriptures to sort of go back over this week, contemplate and meditate. 1 Chronicles 28:9 really talks about drawing near to God. And you, Solomon, my son, David talking to his son Solomon, know the God of your fathers and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. Isn't that a great promise that David gave to his son? And I think for us as well. If you seek him, he will be found. You cannot search for God, the Heavenly Father, the one and only true God, and not find him. You will. You'll find him, you'll meet him, and you'll sense his presence. So why do we have private, contemplative, devotional times? Because it allows us to draw near to God. James 4:8, I think, was the one read earlier. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? That you know that your time spent searching and seeking after God will never go with a failed ending. It will always be a positive ending. You will meet with God and he will meet with you. So we want to have private devotional times to draw near to God. It's a simple question. Do you really want a closer walk with God? Should a Christian ever be satisfied with their walk with the Lord? Or should we always be constantly in our heart having that ache to know him better, to walk closer with him, to demonstrate and show his character in our lives as we've learned from him by being with him? Why have private devotions? Draw near to God. Secondly, to receive spiritual nourishment. Oh, last night I ate way too much. We had a little barbecue last night too, eh? Put hot dogs on the barbecue. It was a barbecue in the middle of winter. It was so good. And I just ate hot dogs, way too many of them. And, you know, I'm never having a problem with nourishment. And my struggle is always to keep it right. You know, not eat too much. But physical nourishment isn't what I really, really need, is it? It's spiritual nourishment. Matthew 4:4 says, but he answered, Jesus speaking, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. It's hearing from God. God's word is the spiritual nourishment that builds us up. We can thrive on physical food, but if we don't have spiritual food, we will shrivel up and fade away. We will be this Christian in the corner that looks like they're anorexic. You know, we don't want that. We need spiritual food that nourishes our soul. It comes from His Word. We need to be in His Word. And that's why 1 Peter 23 says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. We've been born again, how? Because of the Word of God. For all flesh is like grass. I love this little sort of image that Peter gives us. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. It's that word of God that when we spend time in it, when we just don't quickly read over it and forget it, but meditate on it and live in it, it gives us our strength, and that's where we grow. Spiritual strength is what I'm looking for. I want to be prepared for the challenging times of life. And they will come. Gary prayed about some challenging times in life. Some of those challenging times are in our physical bodies, where they let us down, where they falter and fail. And if we're not ready for those times spiritually, it's so difficult. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 17. I won't read that all, but you know what that is. Ephesians 6, how many Bible scholars do we have? What's that all about in Ephesians 6? The big one. The armor of God. And the Word of God is key in the armor of God. It is one of those major pieces that helps us to stand strong when the winds blow hard, when life is difficult, when the evil one, Satan himself, throws everything he can at us. If we're wearing that armor, we're ready, we're prepared. But also Psalm 119, and I go into the Psalms to find a lot of strength. I don't know about you, but the Psalms are a treasury of strength. Psalm 119, 7 to 11 says, I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it, how? According to the word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from what? Your commandments. See how important the word of God is? I have stored up your word in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. We recognize, are we getting the sense of how important it is to be in God's Word? Coming to church on Sunday is fantastic. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. God Himself knows how important it is for people who are walking with the Lord, followers of Christ, to get together, be encouraged in their walk together. But that's not enough. We need to be in the Word on a regular basis. And that's where a devotional time comes into our lives. Spending time with God. Another reason why do we do it? Find peace and stability. Living in a very unstable, a world without peace. I don't know if you feel this, but there could be anxiety in your life. But when we come to the Word of God through prayer, we find the antidote to that anxiety. We find in the Word, we find in Christ, a peace that what? Passes all understanding. So, you want more peace? Spend more time with your Lord, with your Lord's Word. We live in a world filled with pitfalls, and God's Word keeps us from falling into those pits. Psalm 119:105 says, your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. It's like I'm going out, going camping. Gary and Steve and I had our official camping meeting yesterday. I'm excited. This summer, in August, I'm going camping with these guys. Would you pray for me that I return home? But I know it's going to be very dark out there at night, and I'm going to get one of those headlamps that you strap around your head. It has right there, because I don't want to trip. I don't want to be the guy trip and break my ankle out in the middle of the woods, and they have to paddle me back, you know, 5 hours back, strung up in a hammock or something. I'm going to be ready. And listen, we go throughout life, and we forget to put on our headlamps. And life is filled with pitfalls. Where do we find our headlamp? Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Not only that, but don't forget the peace comes from the word. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. Aren't these some great scriptures to remind us today of how important it is to spend time in a devoted, quiet moment with God sometime in each one of our days? Do you want inner peace and outer stability? We need to be in God's word. And so, more than ever, we need to take time to draw close to God. We need to receive spiritual nourishment, and we need to find peace and stability, and it's only found in Him. Here's some things I want to talk about now, and I want your interaction with me a little bit, because here's the rubber meets the road question. What are some of the obstacles that you have personally felt are in your way to having these daily, quiet times of devotion with God? Let's hear from you. What are the obstacles that hold you back or prevent you or cause you issues on having a quiet time with God every day? Let's hear one. What's that? Busy. Who here would put up their hand and say, you are not busy? Kim's pretty good, eh? You're not too bad? You're okay? Good? Okay, too busy. What's another one? What's another quiet? What prevents you, or is it a kind of an obstacle in your devotions? Oh, yes, other responsibilities. We've got a lot of responsibilities. Now, some of these are intertwined. Busyness, responsibility. Yeah? Time. Oh, tired. Elaine is the one who says tired. Can we understand why? A lot of life going on in that household. Tired. Another one. I saw a hand over here. Selfishness. Hey, I didn't even write that one down. Selfishness. Why is it selfish? Selfishness an issue, an obstacle? Want something else. Want to do this. Want to do that. Okay. Good. Okay, one more. Anybody have any? Oh, I see you over here. Yes, Jane? Let's be real. How do I do it? Where do I begin? All of these are vast. Let me just look at a few of them. I just can't find the time. Everyone would say that's a little bit a part of why we don't. Finding the time to do it. Well, we know that finding the time for anything requires what? A deliberate, conscious effort, doesn't it? My encouragement to you today is don't squeeze God out because you have to do so many things. Determine your schedule around Him rather than the things Him around your schedule. Determine your schedule around God and meeting with Him rather than the other way around. View your time with God in prayer and scripture and praise as the most important thing in your life. You may think your job and making money is the most important thing in your life, but it isn't. It is important, but it is not the most important thing. Meeting with God, getting to know Him, being strengthened, finding that peace so that when you go out to do that job, that effort, you're ready for it. Prayer, Bible study, meeting with God should never be looked at as something you make time for. It's something that you have carved out of your life as the most important thing. And so then we move into that, my life is so busy. Well, it's kind of the same thing in essence. My life is busy. I know every one of you has busyness in their life. But isn't it something of value to every once in a while, especially in January, we often do it in January 1st, to reevaluate our schedules, our activities, in light of God-given priorities. Not world-centric priorities, but God-given priorities. There are good things, there are important things, and then there are must-do things in our lives. I ask a simple question. I'm not judging in any way. Please forgive me if it sounds like it, but I'm not. I'm going to ask you, I've asked myself it, so I'm going to ask you, are you doing too much in life? I think, a valid question. Because with I can't find time and my life is too busy, an evaluative point is, am I just doing too much? Is there anything that is in my life that I should pull back and say, you know what, this isn't as a priority, as much of a priority as I thought, and it can go away for a while? And with that, as we reevaluate our lives, do this one thing. Evaluate it in the sense of, what is my life and the way I'm living it teaching my children, my family, teaching people around me who look at me as a follower of Christ? What are they going to say my life is all about? Where are they going to say I'm really focused and my devotion is clearly understood? So I can't find the time. My life is so busy. I just can't fit it into every day. Another good point. Again, it's a matter of limiting or eliminating something in our lives to make sure that we put Christ first in everything. Here's one that I don't think you were, no one said it, but this is something for me, and it may be for you too. When I have personal devotions, sometimes I find it really difficult to concentrate and my mind wanders. Does anybody ever have that happen when you've tried to have a devotional time with God? Your mind wanders. Yeah. I have that problem. Because if you're like me in any way, all of a sudden you think about a half a dozen things and you, oh, off. You know that, I don't know where it came from. It's like you're concentrating. Squirrel! I don't know where that came from, but that's what I think about with my devotions. There are so many things that are on my mind that it's challenging to leave them aside for those 10, 15, 30 minutes of private devotions with God. I'm still learning how to deal with it, but one prayer that I'm starting to use before I start my devotions, before I start that quiet time, comes out of 2 Corinthians 10:5. This is where Paul prays, take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5. When I pray that, I find myself more focused. When I come before God, first of all, and say, Lord, I'm going to spend some time with you. My life is busy. My mind is racing, active with a lot of stuff. Help me to take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You know, another thing that's helped is I'll put my headphones on and I'll listen to worship music for a few minutes, maybe one song, one praise-filled worship song. And as I'm listening to those words, I'm saying, Lord, help me to focus on you for these few minutes. And that's helped quite a bit, just to get myself ready. It's almost like warming up before exercise, you know? If you don't warm up before you exercise, you're going to pull a muscle and it's going to hurt and maybe damage that muscle. Well, I'm warming up almost now before I actually spend time praying and studying God's Word. Here's another thing that's happened. As distraction starts to hit me, I have a pad of paper and I write down that distracting thought. It may be a task I have to do, maybe a person I'm thinking about, whatever. I write it down so that I can then leave it for a moment. You know, it takes it out of my head, puts it somewhere where I won't worry that I'm going to forget about it, but then I can leave it on that paper and go back to devotion with God. Here's another one that maybe some of you didn't say but thought about. I sometimes feel like I'm having my quiet time sheerly out of duty. There's my check mark with God. You know? You know that it's an important thing. You know that God loves to meet with you. But we just do it out of duty. I think when we start to feel that way, we have to remember this is about nourishment. If you were on an island and there wasn't much food, if you passed something that was good to eat, you would run after that and you'd gobble it up because you know that nourishment would keep you alive for another day. Well, we need to recognize we don't do this out of duty. We do this out of deep internal spiritual need. We need to be with God. Remember Psalm 27:4, where David said, "This one thing I seek." You know, he knew how important it was to live in the presence of God, to look on the face of God and know Him deeply and to learn from Him. So, with all that said, recognizing the realities that there are challenges, there are obstacles in our devotional quiet time within our greater devotional lifestyle. Just some practical things. How to have a devotional time. First and foremost, find a place and time that's consistent. Find a place and time that's consistent. First of all, time is going to vary with each individual. Some of you enjoy the early hours. Some of you detest those early hours. Some of you love the evening and the kids are in bed finally and you enjoy those hour or so before you yourself hit the hay. Whatever the time, it will vary for different individuals. The key is to find a quiet time that's free from distractions. And you may have to build that into your family life. You may have to, as a young family, say to your kids, when mommy's in her room or daddy's in this space, he's having a quiet time with the Lord, with Heavenly Father, so don't bother me. You may have to put a do not disturb sign on your doorknob for 15 minutes. And train your kids. It's simple as that. We train them how to live with us, and that would be one thing. Train them that you are having a quiet time. Not only that you're doing it, but they're saying, hey, this is an important thing for my family. Again, within that time frame, there's a place. Find that place. Who watched The War Room, that movie, The War Room? It was a great movie. It was all about this dear elderly saint who was a praying saint. She had a little closet-like room where she could go into it and close the door and pray. Find a place somewhere that is quiet for you, and make that your war room where you go and you meet with God. So that's time and place. How to have a personal devotion. What's next? Engage in prayer, meditation, and praise. Approach God in prayer. Thank Him for your blessings. If you're writing scripture down, I won't read all of these. Colossians 4:2. We are indeed a blessed people, are we not? So why not start a time with God just saying thank you for what you've done for us, for me, for my family? We go to God and we confess we've stepped out of alignment with His Word. Maybe that week has been a rough week spiritually. And you need to go to God and you agree with Him. You haven't walked in the light of His Word. And so 1 John 1:9 teaches us that we have the ability to go before the Father, let Him know that we've stepped out of the line. He knows it, but we confess it. We agree with God. That's what the confession is. We've stepped out of alignment with Him, and we are going to change our thinking, which will change our actions and turn 180 degrees around and start walking with Him again. Third, make supplication for your needs. We all have needs. And God loves to hear our needs. But he wants to hear our needs when, first of all, We've thanked him for our blessings. Secondly, we've got ourselves in alignment with him again. And then let him hear what's on your heart. He knows what's there. He loves to hear it. And Philippians 4:6 is a great scripture to remind us of that. And then last that I have in my list is step out for other people. You know, we have a church family here who some of us are recovering from illnesses. To pray for those people, to let God know that we are loving our brother or sister or someone within our church through prayer. It's a wonderful time with God. I don't doubt that was a heavy part of Jesus' devotional life. He prayed for his disciples. He prayed for the people that he was going out to minister. He had a heart that was aching to see them know the Heavenly Father deeply and intimately. So approach God first in prayer and interceding on behalf of others, 1 Timothy 2, 1-2. All right. Secondly, how about meditation? This, I think, meditation is a lost art. Meditation is something that very, very few believers actually do. That's a time where you contemplate. You spend time in his word. You've read it. And you're now eating it up and chewing on it. The old image of that cow taking the grass and chewing on that, and making it a cud, and just taking in all the nutrients. Well, I think too often we as Christians, we read the scripture and then we pass right through it quickly. What about spending time on that, reflecting on his wonderful works, reflecting on what he's done in your life, reflecting on that revealed will of God and what it means to you? Take time and meditate on God's word. Some scriptures you can go to this week and read. Psalms 63:6, Psalm 77:12, and then Psalm 119:15, verse 23, verse 48, and so on. You know, meditating on God's word, so important. So are you getting an image of what, if you don't know what to do, this is a very basic start to a devotional time with God. Come to God and you pray. You have that pattern that we've just mentioned. You come to God in his word. You discover the beauty of our Lord, the beauty of his world that he's created from the word, and you meditate on that. And a third thing, of course, for me, I love to do this. It helps me a lot. As I mentioned already, I spend time in praise through song. I put on a CD. I put on, my iPad, and I listen to worship songs. And it could be just one song. I pick one song, and I worship through it. And it reminds me about God's word and God's character. So those are three things that you can do to begin your devotional quiet time life this week. You know, we live in a world that's filled with sin. It is not the world that God created. It is a world that's been distorted by sin. And there's much that would fill our lives with stress and anxiety and pull us away from God. And some of those things might even be good, okay, but they're not put in priority. They become the priority as opposed to our walk with God. We need to make room for God in our lives, and not just Sunday morning. Make room with God in our lives every day. I promise you this. I make this promise unabashedly, that if you make time for God in a devotional time each and every day, and do that throughout this next year, you will clearly and definitively recognize that God has met you and he has grown you up in your walk with him. It will be a good year. Let me close with a scripture from the man after God's own heart, David, who found it needful to spend time alone with God. This is what he said. I rise before dawn and I cry for help. I hope in your words. And when it says hope, that word actually means his confidence is in God's words. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promise. Spending time meditating on God's word, letting it permeate the very core of who we are, will do nothing but build us up and help us to live in this very challenging world that we live in. And I pray that this year you'll have a great year of growing your devotional lifestyle and living a daily devotion with God. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your word and for the truths so clearly found in each line that help us to live in a challenging world. We're praying that this year will be a really great year for our church as a whole, that we will start to stretch our spiritual muscles and develop a devotional lifestyle that keeps you at the center of everything we do. And that devotional lifestyle has at its root, at its core, a quiet time, a time with you regularly, daily, that develops our lives to be centered and strengthened by you and your word. We pray this, not that we might fill ourselves with pride, but that we might fill ourselves with spiritual strength, knowing that we've met you each day. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.